Well, good morning and welcome. I'm Pastor Joel Kangas, and this is Resurrection Free Lutheran Church, and we are going to talk about encountering Christ through the Lord's Prayer. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord's Prayer is. And in this setting, Jesus is giving his first major teaching. He's been telling the people that, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is a new day. In God's plan of rescuing the world, in God's plan of redeeming humanity, in God's plan of drawing people to himself, the day when Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount was transformational. All these things were leading up to this moment when Jesus stood up amongst them and started teaching and explaining the kingdom is at hand. You would have thought people would have been turning around and looking and saying, well, what happened? What's changed? Maybe it was imperceptible to many, but when Jesus started teaching, the kingdom of God was at hand in a way it had never been before. Jesus was present, and he's given this wonderful Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about aspects of the kingdom. The Beatitudes, those different attributes of the kingdom, were listed there at the beginning. And then here towards the end of his Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, as kingdom people, this is how to pray. As people who are part of the kingdom of God, this is how you pray. Now, the people that were listening had probably prayed before. They probably prayed a lot, some of them. They'd probably gone to different aspects of the religious system of the day. But in this moment, Jesus says, as kingdom people, here's how to pray. Now, you've heard this teaching before. But my concern is that Jesus' teaching might have become to you dry and formal. That it might just be something that's religious. That it might be something that has a structure to it, but it doesn't have any life. Jesus gave this teaching on how to pray so that you would encounter God. So that your prayer would not be listing off petitions and giving him a gimme, gimme, gimme list, but that you would enter into a fresh encounter with the magnificence of God, that you'd encounter him. The Lord's Prayer is to be all about encountering God in different dimensions and aspects of his true identity. So my hope is that today, after we share this time in God's Word together, that your prayer life is forever changed into being kingdom praying, in being encounter praying. Elsewhere in Matthew, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, chapter 21. And so the image there is of prayer being like the parts of a house. And so we can think of the Lord's Prayer as proceeding through this house of prayer in seven different rooms. And in each one of these rooms, we not only want to tell God what's on our heart, we want to receive from God, and we want to encounter God. Now, let's be honest. I know I have experienced times when I've been praying, and it's as if my words are not going much further than my own skull, or certainly not much further than the walls of the room in which I'm sitting. Sometimes we have that type of experience when we go through the activity of prayer. And I believe God wants to change that. He wants every time you pray to be an encounter moment. Just a little while ago, we sang that beautiful song, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I believe God wants you to see him every time you pray. It might not be physical, but it should be a spiritual encounter with God. Matthew 6, starting at verse 9, it reads, Jesus speaking, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 7 parts to this crucial prayer. 7 rooms in this house of prayer. 7 receiving experiences in this prayer. 7 encounters with the living Christ in this prayer. The first one is relationship. We pray, "Our Father." And as we pray this, we want to move from just saying it as a greeting, as a formality, to receiving the reality of God as our Father. Some of you had great fathers and some of you had horrible fathers. But the Bible specifically uses this term because it's a relational term to help us recognize that God is not just a distant entity, an authority, but He is someone with whom we are in a relationship. Someone who loves us dearly, who made us, created us, owns us, and pours His love upon us. He's our beginning, He's our provider, He's our future, He's our end. He is everything. He's our heavenly Father, our perfect Father. And as we begin our prayer, we want to stop in this one phrase and just receive its truth and encounter Him as our Father. Maybe as you say, "Our Father," you stop and you say, "Lord, are You really my Father? What's that mean, God? Help me to realize it, God. Do You really love me, God?" One of the things that I am so encouraged by is when I pause after asking a prayer and I say something like, "God, do You really love me?" And in the pausing moment, I sense and I hear an answer. You see, God made you in His image. And when you come to faith, you are born spiritually. And that means that His Spirit is put inside of you, inside of your human spirit, so that you are no longer separated from God, so that every time you are dialoguing with God, it is actually a two-way thing. Now, unfortunately, we need training in how to hear. Like an old-fashioned radio that need to have a dial turned to find the right frequency, we need our hearts tuned in to hear. But one of the most transformational things that's occurred in my life, once and then continuing, is when I say, "God, do You really love me?" I sense Him saying, "I love you. Yes, I love you." Now, when you think you hear God, you want to say something in dialogue with that, and you want to say, "Was that You, God, or was that me? Was that You, God, or was that something I read on the internet? Was that You, God?" And the way to answer that is to find out, did it align with Scripture? God's written revelation is the tool we use to judge every other form of revelation we receive. When we sense God speaking into our hearts, we run it through the grid of Scripture. And is it scriptural that God would say, "I love you"? Amen! It absolutely is. In fact, you could spend hours reading Scripture and see again and again and again God declaring His love for us. His love for us. And so learning to encounter the love of God as you begin your prayer is crucial. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us, and we experience His loving kindness every time we go to Him in prayer. You know how advertising jingles can be very effective. Some of you who are my age probably had the same problem of a jingle being stuck in your head. As a kid, I remember hearing this over and over again. "The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup." It's a little better tune on TV than it was right there. But, you know, as I heard that as a kid, it stuck. But I thought they were lying because I hated the taste of coffee back then. So I thought they were lying. But now I realize coffee tastes good, but they were still lying. Because having Folgers in your cup is not the best part of waking up. The best part of waking up is having your love cup refilled with God's hesed love, His everlasting covenantal love for you. The best part of waking up is receiving a fresh dose of God's love. So start your day and start every prayer saying, "God, our Father in heaven," and just soak in His love, receive His love, encounter His love. But then after we've encountered His love, we can go on to the second room of the house of prayer and we can worship. We can say, "Hallowed be Thy name." We can revere Him. We can honor Him. We can bestow our praise upon Him. But as we're doing that, we want to receive from Him a fresh encounter with Him. The names of God are covenantal. Every name of God is a covenant. What that means is when God says He is something, that's a promise to you. And when God says He is something, you can grab a hold of that, claim it, make it your own, and experience that reality. God is bigger than your imagination. He's bigger than your ability to perceive Him. And we need to continually expand our recognition of God's greatness. Picture a kindergartner kids. In fact, Dinah could help me out. Dinah, I need you to give me a drawing of an elephant. Work on that for me. I'll put it on my wall. I need a drawing of an elephant. Picture a kid's picture of a drawing of an elephant. It's going to have a few details, yes, but not very many compared to the reality. In contrast, we now have high-definition video on our high-definition television screens of all these nature shows. Elephants are amazing. But even better than that would be if you could stand next to an elephant. You could run your hands along its flank and feel the creases of its wrinkled skin, or feel that floppy ear as it moves around. Maybe even it starts fanning itself. Or feel the massiveness of its legs, or maybe its trunk and the muscles of it as it moves, or the smoothness of its tusks. Or maybe it would move a little bit and you'd feel the strength of it as it nudges you. We all need a fresh experience of the expanding aspects of the reality of God. The names help us. The names of God help us. He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Redeemer. He's our Sanctifier. He's our Healer. He's our Coming King. He's the one who always loves us. He is full of grace and truth. The definitions of, the names of, the descriptions of God help us see God more clearly, and they're all invitations into a new covenant experience of God's greatness. Whether He's Jehovah or the Omnipotent One, or He's the one that's always loving us, or He's Jehovah Jireh, or He's the God of peace, or He's the Transcendent One, the Holy One, the Just One, or He's the All-Sufficient One, the Omniscient One, the Omnipresent One, or He's the Sovereign One, the One of all wisdom, the One that's always faithful, the One that's full of grace, or He's our Comforter, or He's El Shaddai, He's our Intercessor, He's Adonai, our Lord. Whatever term it is an invitation into a new covenantal experience of God. So as you pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," you want to linger there and say, "God, reveal Your name to me." In fact, one of the things I think is true for each and every one of us is that God wants you to have a fresh name of God for your situation. What you're going through, God is already sovereign over, and He has already spoken into, but sometimes you're blind to His presence in that moment. So as you're moving through a time or a season, whether you're a graduate or you're heading off to camp or you're in your senior stages of life, whatever you're going through, you want to say, "God, reveal Yourself to me. Let me encounter You afresh. Give me a name to hang on to in this time and in this moment." And God will speak, and God will reveal, and God will give to you what you need. So we encounter Him as our Heavenly Father. We encounter Him as we receive fresh revelation of His name. Thirdly, we encounter His Lordship as we pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We want to encounter Him as the King in every situation. We want to encounter Him as the one who's sovereign over every aspect of life. And we want to experience an ever more tangible taste of His kingdom on earth. His kingdom. Being in a country that values independence and rugged individualism, we sometimes have a hard time understanding the kingdom of God. And so you need to ask God for revelation as you read His Word and look for aspects of the kingdom. The Beatitudes are about the kingdom. They start by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom." Poor in spirit means humble. Poor in spirit means someone who's softened, that isn't prideful, that has laid down their rights to yield to the sovereignty of God. The poor in spirit are full of humility. And so as you're praying for and looking for the kingdom, you would say that, well, humility is a part of the kingdom. Let me see humility, Lord. Let me experience humility, Lord. Let me portray humility, Lord. Let me grow in that. So a growing understanding of the kingdom would help us encounter God. Another aspect is repentance. When there's repentance, that's a work of God. That's the kingdom of God showing up. Or where people are concertedly seeking after God, that's an aspect of the kingdom. Or when there's new obedience to God, that's the kingdom breaking out. Or when people have authority over evil spirits, that's the reality of the kingdom and the evicting of those harassments. When you see the Holy Spirit moving, that's the kingdom. When you see true signs and wonders, that's the kingdom. When you see people being saved, that's the kingdom. When you see people falling deeper in love with Jesus and seeking the pearl of greatest price, that's the kingdom. Or when you see people willing to lay down their lives for Christ and to be martyrs for Christ, that's the kingdom. And the reality is, in our world right now, in some of the lands around the world, there are martyrs every day for Christ. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we want a fresh encounter with the King of the kingdom. So we pray, Lord, transform my values so they're in line with yours. Let me encounter you as the King of the kingdom. And may your will be done in my life and in this world, in my family, in my community. We move further into the house of prayer. We get to this room where we say, "Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts." It's as if we're recognizing we're really children with a God who provides what we need. You could say the groceries are being brought in and the garbage is being taken out. God is the one who's providing for us, and God is the one that's forgiving us. And so we're looking for a fresh encounter. We pray for our daily needs to the one who promised to meet our daily needs. If you say in prayer, "Lord, I got this need, I got that need, I got this thing, and Lord, I need, we can just work ourselves into a frenzy. But if we say, "God, I know you're my need meter. I trust you with all these things. I lay them out before you, and I receive you and your provision." See, I'm thankful that God didn't give me a huge stockpile that I could draw from every single day, but rather He seems to want to give me fresh manna every morning, so I go to Him for a fresh service, a fresh dose, a fresh serving. And oftentimes, that's how God helps you grow in faith. We go to Him in prayer and encounter Him as our daily need meter, the one who promised to provide. Whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's healing, whatever it is, we go to Him each day and encounter Him as the one who meets my need. So I encourage you, don't just pray, "Lord, please forgive my sins." Add one more step to that. "Lord, I now receive forgiveness, and I encounter you, the forgiver." We walk away from a prayer of confession and repentance, forgiven because of having been in the presence of our forgiver. The next room is the room where our relationships are restored, fellowship. "Forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us." God is the one who heals relationships. Here in the Lord's Prayer, He deals with the reality that we have estranged, broken, dysfunctional relationships. And He taught us to pray, bring healing to those relationships. Forgive me as I have experienced forgiveness and extended forgiveness. God wants you to be in fellowship with those who have hurt you and even with those you have hurt. God is the restorer of relationships. That's His name. That's His identity. So in your minds right now, think about that estranged relationship. But do one more thing in that memory that's going on right now. Invite the reconciler into it. That person, you, and God in the same room. The one who died in your place and forgave all your sins is now enabling forgiveness in that relationship. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, it should result in encountering the one who restores relationships. Let me encourage you here. Don't go past this quickly. I know a lot of people who are being poisoned by bitterness, poisoned by unforgiveness, poisoned by hanging on to things that have been offenses against them. It's as if they're holding this poison vial and intending to pour it out on the person they're mad at, but the reality is it's got a crack in it, and it keeps seeping into their own innards, poisoning them from the inside out. God wants you to be forgiven by Him and then experience reconciled relationships with one another. There's nothing that's been done to you that God's grace is not sufficient to bring healing to. So you can forgive. You can let go. You can be healed of that bitterness. You encounter the one who restores relationships. Now the prayers are getting more intense. As we start off by celebrating His love and worshiping His name and receiving fresh revelations and then speaking His kingdom and His will, we're then receiving our daily needs of food and forgiveness and then extending it to others. And now we get to this sixth room where we're saying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some translations leave it as evil, as an entity. In other words, ones show that it's a more personalized form of that word. It's the evil one who's the source of all evil. We're saying, God, lead us, so I don't fall into temptation and that I'm able to be victorious against the enemy. Who is Jesus to you? Is He the one that abandons you and says, okay, go and see if you can make it today? Or is He the one that says, walk beside me today in the victory I have for you today? Victory over temptation, victory over all the attacks of the devil. You are never alone in either one of those battles. Here in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites you to encounter Him as the one who leads you victoriously today. You wake up, you get your cup filled up, you receive Him today, and you go in and you do battle. You are on this planet to extend the kingdom, and you do that through walking in relationship with Jesus Christ every moment. And so if there's a temptation that comes up, you say, Lord, that looks kind of tough. It's a good thing you're here with me. Let's go through it together and let's get victory on the other side. The one who forgives past sins is the one who leads you in present victory over sin. The one who forgave all immorality is the one that enables you to live holy in your relationships in the future. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but He will provide a way for you to stand up and move through it. That's why we pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, lead me through this temptation victoriously. Lord, walk me through it. Lord, be the one who plows a path, and I'll follow right behind you. Bring me victory, Lord, over sin and over Satan. We end up by saying, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. And yes, it's true that in the earliest manuscripts, this is not part of Matthew, not part of Luke's version either, but it is a phrase that's other places in Scripture, and it certainly seems like the church added it as the perfect conclusion to this prayer. It's biblical in that it's in other passages of Scripture, and it's a great way to wrap it all up and turn it all back over to Him and say, Lord, it's yours. And I encounter you as the one who owns it all, the one who's worthy of all glory, the one who has all power, and it's really all about your kingdom. I encounter you as the one who is sovereign over my life and over every situation I go through. We want to pray. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. But I encourage you to pray it as that song we sang at the beginning is going through our mind. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Let's pray together. Lord, help us pray now. Holy Spirit, help us pray now. Forgive us for the times we've used the Lord's Prayer as a mere formality. And let us truly encounter you in every room of the Lord's Prayer. Let us encounter you in all the various aspects of your character. Let us pray out of relationship. Empower us, we pray, together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We receive you, Jesus. Be glorified in our lives. Amen.